Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go. Yeah. Ghetto children singing. See, what up? They eager to learn how to become the next world leaders. Brave hearts. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Book one, strategy, tactics, techniques. Look dumb, but masterfully notice the weakness in all them. Gotta you show me if necessary. Homie, investments is very real if enemies carrying heavy steel. Beware the thugs who ain't scared of blood or jail time. When Aryan nations ain't having integration, we so blind, the beauty of life was when my mom said, again, you could be Christ. I wasn't old enough to hold my D&P right. Jesus, what is he like? I picture him standing with diamonds on him, little different from the way my mommy saw him. Practice your aiming, physical training in difficult terraining. Test your endurance, try to keep your stamina banging, splitting duchess up, strap up. The army's a school, teaching smart ways to go. I'm thinking Gandhi was a fool, the chronic's a fool. Got me thinking out loud. Sleep on my drunkenness, I blow your brains out. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here.
My revolution is as real as Bobby Seals I build. With dudes and Chris worth a quarter mil and Dick Hill. For fish scales, the cops, when the time come, I mask up and get my comrade off the bus. Up the beef, I snatch a seed from Chuck E. Cheese and feed them to the rats in the back of the peas. Black fatigue and off the scenes on a sofa. 50-inch flat screen, Louis Vuitton holsters. My motions don't appeal to appellate division. I did it strong for 7 long years in prison. Of the system, I'm like a modern-day Hitler. A black gorilla, crib and blood and one only. Just know my face, I be the case. But the wish at the police, they'll get the name Lake. Go simultaneously with street revolution. 21 gun salute, the new Huey
Newton. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Teach our woman how to hold a family down in case something happens to us fathers. Protect the children, grab revolvers. The woman plays an important part of our life force of what we fight for. My heart goes to you, beautiful wife in war.
Enlist in more and talk less. Watch all and trust none. Demand your respect and be ready to die for what you believe in. And ride all the time, not just when convenient.
Justice and freedom, wisdom and understanding. We the lost children of Israel in this Western world region. You ain't a man, you a coward if you can't support the girl you put a seed in.
Strong rule the weak, but the wise rule is strong. It's more to a war than just getting it on. Seal your form, cover your tracks, stay prepared. I don't care, no one's spared.
Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here.
I'm a soldier for life. The battle I'm fighting has no ending. To struggle is to go the distance. To win is not to care how far one must go.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How do we get access to this, Jackson?
His lawyers say they can get me in posing as a legal investigator.
You were Huey Newton's lawyer, right?
Yes.
And now, Mr. Jackson.
Mr. Jackson was sentenced 1 year to life for a $70 gas station robbery.
We have 2 hours.
You're waiting a long time.
We need brothers who can maintain their self-respect in here, have true strength.
Some people are comparing you to Eldridge Cleaver, Richard Wright, Du Bois. How does your fame affect you when you're locked up all day?
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Do you understand that there cannot be a peaceful revolution?
Okay, gentlemen, we're taking over!
Mr. Jackson, I'm sorry about your brother.
They will live to regret it. I'll see to that.
my irons.
Starring Gary Dordan from TV CSI.
This is the military, David.
Free land. Rebel sharing greetings. Welcome to another edition of Georgia University Radio. I'm your host, Lou Mani Shakir, where our goals are fivefold. Our first goal, to eradicate functional literacy among new African prisoners. Our second goal, to eradicate cultural ignorance among new African prisoners. Our third goal, to transform the criminal mentality to the new African mentality. Our fourth goal, to assist in the rebuilding and stabilization of new African prisoners. Our fifth goal, to prepare new African prisoners for release, reducing new African recidivism. Before I bring on our guest tonight, I'd like to go over a couple of events that happened in history during this week, and also pay respect and homage to Black August. Ways to go to Lamo Basileo, which is a way to go somewhere, Black August salutation, Basileo, to Black August greetings. You know, Black August is a month about sacrifice and fast and maintaining discipline, unity, attending to health, exercise, conditioning, and studying. The three imperative parts about Black August is one, life and liberty. You must liberate the new African man and one within, which is a transformation within yourself. Two, purpose, bring about revolutionary change within and around our independence. Face bring that change within yourself and also change within your community and within your family and your environment. Direction, nation building towards self-determination and survival as a collective. That basically means to be in institutions and be a program and, you know, institution that the people need and also build a nation. You know, that those are the imperative things around Black August. Black August is not a holiday. You know, it is not a prison holiday. It is not a party. It's not a celebration. It's a commemoration of the fallen comrades that fell on the flea days of August 1st, which is Qatar Gaul, 1978. August 7th, 1970, American Corps with Johnny Jackson, William Crispin, and Jane McClain, where Rushel McGee was wounded. He was recently released by a month or so ago. August the 13th reflects upon January 3rd, 1970, where W.L. Nolan, Alvin Sweet Jug Miller, and Cleveland Elk was assassinated on the yard. They gave birth to the Solidarity Brothers, Fleeto Drongo, John Cluche, and Johnny Jackson. I mean, Comrade George Jackson, for himself. And August 21st, 1971, which was an assassinated Comrade George Jackson. Those are eight martyrs. We're going to call Black August Memorial, also Black August Martyrs. And born from that was Black August Resistance, which is time resistance. Black August, 365 days a year. During the month of August, from August 1st, August 31st, the Black August Resistance. From September the 1st through July 31st, the Black August Resistance. You know, so during that time, we resist all day, every day, which is in the revolutionary culture. Okay, I just want to give y'all that a little bit. I'm about to go over a couple of events that happened in history during the week, during the significance. On August the 20th, 1619, the first African captive was brought to England's North American colony of Jamestown, Virginia. You know, this is a piece that was written, I'm going to read the following piece here, written by one of the new African political prisoners that is held captive in California prison right now. And they call our new African historical order in 1619. Since the arrival of our ancestors, Isabel X and Tony X and 18 other new African women and men onto the shores of America in August 1619 in Jamestown, Virginia, during America's era of chattel slavery, I would say our descendants of the African human race consists of different tribes and countries throughout the continent of Africa, such as the Zulu, Yoruba, Cameroon, Mandingo, Ashanti, and etc. And the Caribbean, such as Belize, Jamaica, Barbados, Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, Brazil, Haiti, Bahamas, Cuba, etc. Just to name a few areas which people of color were equally enslaved in North America. They coalesced to form a new African ethnic group here in the 13 colonies of Great Britain, later titled United States in 1776. As our African nation fought against chattel slavery, our women folks were being raped by their captors, such as Britain, Great Britain, Caucasian, white, and Europeans, etc. During the years of 1690 to 1630 and throughout chattel slavery, of the January 1965, we will never forget. As our new African nation realized that the children of these vicious rape produced beautiful new African child, new African nation, even though said children had that dirty rapist blood flowing through their veins, our ancestors' humanity allowed them to accept and love these children wholeheartedly. As new Africans, we have created a new social order politically, economically, culturally, and militarily, security to protect our new African nation. By all be necessary and respect to our survival. We as new Africans have been identified by others as the N-word, Negroes, colored, African-American, black African-American, but we have always been a nation of new African people unlike any other ethnic group in the United States. We have been named very ethnic classification over the past 365 years of our new Africanization. We as new Africans must now put to rest miseducation of our ethnic classifications. We are a new African nation within the borders of the United States. Knowing that in the tradition of our ancestors, a free new African people notwithstanding, they consequently call themselves as they see fit. They are not defined as others. People will have us new African nation to go, our new African revolutionary voice. We must realize as a people, during the years of 1619 and 1630, our new African nation developed, came to evolve socially, culturally, politically, as a revolutionary nationalist nation. Our new African nation resisted the bondage and oppression brought on by the system of chattel slavery. The system of chattel slavery has been in effect for 22 years prior to Massachusetts becoming the first Great Britain colony to get statutory recognition to chattel slavery in 1641, followed by the slave colony of Connecticut, Virginia, Maryland, New York, New Jersey, South Carolina, Rhode Island, North Carolina, and Georgia. There were recorded 250 major campaigns of new African resistance to the slavery system of chattel slavery in August of 1619 Jamestown, Virginia. Our new African nation ethnic group of people and an even greater number, less known, raised act by new African national freedom fighters. The 1700 will mark advancement in the campaign efforts of the new African national revolt mentality, resistance movement, and all spheres of our liberation. One, our new African nation has overcome our new humanity. Two, as a new African nation, we discovered a new initiative that redirected and advanced our new African revolt mentality. Three, a new African constructed the new progressive nighttime revolt mentality and strategical method. Four, as a new African nation realized that our developed consciousness has a built-in scientific, social, family orientation to survive this phase of our liberation struggle against chattel slavery. Yet, our new African nation continued to rise and resist the social construction of the chattel slavery. In 1708, the new African native slaves in Long Island, New York, organized a major campaign of protracted war and resistance to chattel slavery, with numerous slave owners and government troops were killed, thus creating fear and panic throughout the state of New York. Our new African people have been forced to struggle through feudalism, chattel slavery, industrial revolutionary slavery, black code, Jim Crow, white supremacy, neocolonialism, and presently racism. We are faced with it, but we know that our ancestors have opened doors for our new African nation through their sacrifices, and it's our responsibility to handle the present and future challenges so that the generation behind us will be equally and better equipped to address the challenges of the nationally resistant movement for the survival of Juneteenth, 1865, and the turn of the century 1900 in racist America. In 1657, our new African people and the native people joined forces, thereby creating the greater power of these two nations and their greater potential of their protracted liberation struggle for total freedom, justice, retribution, and a right to an independent nation from their oppressors. Can only be brought to fruition based on chattel slavery to where the condition both nations face. Thereby, the application of photo theory and how it can be affected only when these two nations do not allow themselves to be isolated from their prospective class of people, thus expose themselves to the vast superior firepower of their oppressor, slave owner. Therefore, our combined revolutionary, new African, and native movements got the liberation, struggle, military, and political objective, thereby utilizing the tactic for mounting the funds of a vigorous campaign of armed struggle and resistance in Hartford, Connecticut, that grew in force and dealt to create an atmosphere of panic and fear that ended in the deaths of any slave owner, revolutionary freedom fighter, slave that affect the whole state of Connecticut. In 1663, on November 21st, our nighttime revolt mentality slaves organized and formulated a plan to seize control of the slave protest throughout Virginia. The revolutionary nationalist campaign was brought to a premature conclusion, the betrayal of a rat turncoat, snitch informer debriefer by a new average slave who had exposed a plan to some slave owner, resulting in the deaths of a revolutionary new African nationalist freedom fighter. The 1700 would mark an advancement in the campaign effort of the new African revolutionary guerrilla national resistance movement and all spirit of liberation. One, we, new African nation, have uncovered our new woman and new man. We, as new African nation, discovered new initiative that redirect and advance our new African revolutionary guerrilla national resistance movement. We, as new African nation, constructed a new progressive guerrilla strategic method. When new African nation realized that our revolutionary continent had built a scientific social family or it takes to divide the phase of our liberation struggle against chattel slavery. Yet our new African nation continued to rise and resist the social construction of chattel slavery. Our new African nation, in 1708, new African nation slaves in Long Island organized a major camp for scrap war and resistance with numerous slave owners and government troops killed. They're creating fear panic throughout the state of New York. Our new African people have been forced to struggle through feudalism. Okay. They end with back-to-back new African, new African, fade to pro, new African, and toward the new African minor Black August. So our new African national education journey and struggle. Okay. That's on August 20th. August 21st, 1791. We witnessed the Haitian Revolution. Which was a slave revolt begun with the revolts of slaves in Northern Province under the leadership of Toussaint Louverture. This revolution led to the independence of Haiti in 1804 with Jean-Jacques Dessalines in leadership. You know, becoming the first black nation that are free in the Western Hemisphere, based on the world at that time. Okay, 1831. To the 21st to the 23rd, Nat Turner Rebellion, Southampton County, Virginia. So 60 whites were killed. Nat Turner was not captured until October the 30th. You know, within Nat Turner confessions, he mentioned that he was ordained as a prophet to lead this struggle, and that what his brother did. You know, he was always looked upon as being a very intelligent youth at a young age. He was gifted, intelligent, intuitive, and teen with his intelligence. 1843, Henry Harlan Garnett called for a general slave rebellion, the slave strike, 1843. He wanted to get it popping. You know, and Henry Harlan Garnett is one of our forerunners. The one I fought along with Martin Delaney, Bill Marvis, Gabriel Pryor, David Walker, Benjamin Pop Singleton, Henry Manuel Turner, Edward McCabe, Tunis Campbell. You know, Henry Harlan Garnett was an abolitionist. He urged his slaves to rebel and claim their own freedom. Later in life, Garnett would support the migration of a new African to Liberia. Okay. Also on this day, 21st, 1971, witness assassination of Comrade George Jackson, the Dragon. You know, the general, the one which is this radio show in the university is a namesake, George Jackson, the strong revolutionary man. He's the author of Blood on My Eye and Solidarity Brothers. An inspiration to many during his time of living, and also an inspiration now, in which this month, Black August, is commemorated toward his resistance and sacrifice as a Black Lives Matter. On today, 1917, a new African soldier in Houston engaged in street skirmishes that left more than 17 European-American races dead. That's all struggle resistance, Black resistance. Also on this date, witnessing the birth of Russell Maroon Schultz in 1943. Maroon was a runaway slave, Kim Maroon. He was a former Black Panther Party member, a founder of the Black Union Council in Philadelphia, and also a member of the Black Liberation Army, who escaped twice while in captivity. After many years of resistance behind enemy lines, he came home a sickly ill man, and he perished shortly after. But you know, he had the struggle in the line. Now, those are a couple of events that happened in history in a week. May these events inspire you and motivate you and educate you to do things that are righteous out of fear of your heart. And with all due respect and all that, welcome to the show tonight, Conrad Suda Shakir Kevlon. Jumbo, Conrad, how you doing?
Jumbo, Conrad, I'm well. I'm well, sir. How are you?
I'm strong, brother. I'm strong, brother. You know, it's always a pleasure to have brothers on and sisters that have a new man and new woman mentality. First, I want to thank you for coming to our platform and sharing our understanding. Thank you for that sacrifice and the commitments and the work you're going to do in the past, the present, and well in the future. For the people who don't know who you are, tell the people a little about yourself before we get started into the meat of this conversation.
I'm Conrad Suda, coming out of the Dr. John Henry Clark District of the Republic of New Africa. Been organizing for close to 15 years. Been a part of a couple of different structures. Been able to be very influential inside of my own community. Been working closely with the Republic. Been able to secure a community center. Practice the principles of defense, economics, education, politics, and culture, being able to own, operate, and control our community and keep it safe, clean, and organized. And I've been studying, working, keeping myself together, building, being a servant of the people. So that's just me in a nutshell.
Okay, true indeed, true indeed, true indeed. Okay, you mentioned Dr. John Henry Clark Town, the New Empire. What exactly is that to the people who are listening? What is the certified New Empire? What is that for the people that are listening? Who are wondering?
So we are a certified district in the Republic of New Africa. And we went to the provision of government, and we had some comrades together, our cadre. We let them know that we wanted to be a certified district within the Republic. We became a certified district, and during Black August of this year, we moved our collective from a local collective to a local district of the Republic, so that we could kind of plug in into the Republic and be able to be an example to the rest of out of New African formations. We have so many different organizations. Let's see if we can kind of condense them into one formation so that we can be more productive.
Okay. So you're saying that during this minor transformation that I was just talking about during Black August, a minor transformation, a minor organized within yourself, will organize without yourself around others and other individuals around your community. You made the transformation, or made the transition to become the John Henry Clark District Council, you know?
Yes, sir.
To do the work, okay. So, you know, with the transition, it comes much responsibility, right? When it comes much responsibility. What is it about the New African Revolutionary National, New African National ideology that you feel is fit for the people of New African descent, you know what I'm saying? Be they conscious or unconscious. What do you feel? What do you feel about this ideology that is meant or fit for the people?
I feel as if all around it's a good concept and stepping stone for us to work off, i.e. independence, land, and reparations. We know that we want to be an independent people, even during the civil rights. A lot of people like to talk about the civil rights movement, but it was always separate but equal. So we always wanted our own thing. We just wanted the government to acknowledge us as being equal to any other group of people that's on the United States. Unfortunately, that didn't work out in our favor, and then we integrated. But we want to be an independent people. We also know that land is needed for any group of people to develop themselves into a mighty nation. During our course of being here, we know that we are supposed to have land and need land to do the necessary things we need to do, and reparations are due. No group of people has ever worked for free. Even after being enslaved or being tortured or whatever, groups or races, nations would always get some form of reparations. And so it should be the same with new African population. The new African people, we want land, we want independence and reparations. And I think this is something that all new African black people in America can adhere to. I think we all know that we are separate. I think we all know that we need land because we're tired of renting. We're tired of being pushed around. And we all know that we are due some form of payment. And whether it's land and resources or money or and a combination of all of them, because it takes a little of everything to get to where we want to go. So I think with that platform, we could take that and we could take it to our people and get a good following behind that.
Okay. You know, so you're saying that land is the basis of independence, right? And in order for any nation of people to be free, they must have their own individual land, you know. Okay, upon attaining land, what are some of the principles you think should be utilized to maintain this land upon attaining and building this land? What are some of the principles, ideas you think should be utilized to maintain it and build on it and organize on it?
So the five principles, like I stated earlier, is just a preliminary that we think. Of course, there's going to be more. We just know that we want to deal with the defensive aspects, the education, economics, politics, and cultural aspects, cultural and social aspects of what we have going on. We don't have to reinvent the wheel, and we're not looking to go out and war against anyone. However, we know from studying history that any time that new African people start to build and become successful without the help of any other foreigners, that they oftentimes attack us, and in being attacked, we're not going to be attacked anymore. Like Brother Kwame Ture said, we're not running anymore. So we're going to defend and protect ourselves to death. We're going to create an economical system that can engulf all of our people, and we have a network where our wealth contributes to the benefit of our nation. So we have to educate ourselves about the importance of who we are, why we are, and what we're doing, so that we won't continue to give all our wealth to foreigners. Our politics start with empty stomachs. We want to know how to feed ourselves, how to clothe ourselves, and how to house ourselves without the contribution of foreigners. And our culture speaks for itself. But like I always tell my comrades, that we do things by word of mouth, so we just talking and live it. Everybody else write it down and get paid off it. So we should learn how to monetize a way of getting paid off of what we do. So we shouldn't buy synthetic hair for Asians. If we're going to do it, we should have a way of creating that system for ourselves and selling it to our people, creating the products and the services that we're going to need to sustain ourselves. So just in a nutshell, we want to deal with those five principles first so we can keep our nation safe, clean, and organized, and we can own, operate, and control the means of production. And that would help give us some type of wiggle room.
Okay. I understand it. You know, in regards to this process, right, the principle, the idea, and concept, how important is it for individual to go through some kind of orientation, indoctrination standpoint, or class, or session in regard to political education? How important is it, or how significant is it for one to go through that, to endure that?
It's very important. Even with our cadre, we have an 8-week process that our new congress have to come through to be able to even be considered a part of our council. understand that I always use the phrase one band, one sound. We all learning, we're all organizing, we've all been exposed to different things over the years. And in order for us to be on one page, one accord, we must all study the same thing. I liken it to, I always tell the comrades that people go to church every Sunday, but on Wednesday, they go to Bible study. And everybody's reading the same Bible and studying the same Bible and reading the same book. So when they come to church, they all on the same page. We must do the same thing. We must read and study the same material. We must do what needs to be done inside of our particular formations and ideologies so that we can all be on the same page. So no matter if we are in Georgia or Louisiana or Alabama, we can connect with each other and be able to continue to push our progress forward without having to re-educate everybody about the importance of what we're doing and why we're doing it.
Okay. Yeah, okay. That sounds good, man. That sounds good. You know, the education now is imperative, you know, to liberate our mind state, you know. I understand that Dr. General Clark's got a lot of things going on in regards to New African Nation Day coming up real soon. They're going to be taking place at Dr. General Clark Town. The aspect of the newly formed district council, you know, the New African election coming up. The aspects of already having a community center. They talk about owning institutions such as a grocery store, a bank, a school, and a hospital. And you're doing the working community, being invisible. You know, all that is a beautiful thing, right? You know, in regards to New African Nation Day, right? What is the importance of that from your perspective? You know, and why should people get involved with or even want to know more about it in general?
The importance for New African Nation Day to me is, like I always tell my comrades, and I said it earlier, one band, one sound. Nation Day should be a time where, and it is a time, where we come and share ideas, where we come and share the things that we have been doing over the years. I mean, over that particular year. We come and share all of the accomplishments of our cadres, and then we see how we can duplicate, replicate the successes of other districts. We can see how we can help each other grow. We can come together and build economical systems, educational systems. And Nation Day is a time where we come and really show our talents and have a good time of just being new Africans, celebrating each other. And it only happens once a year. So we should take that time to really come, enjoy each other, travel, see other places, do different things, eat different food, really take time to enjoy each other, take time to build and get to know each other, and build relationships that will last for a lifetime.
Okay. True indeed, man. You know, true indeed, man. It's imperative that people have an understanding of certain things, right? That's why, historically, like earlier during this month, I was 18, so to speak. The RN-11 was attacked in 1971 at Jackson, Mississippi. Okay, you have political prisoners, you have POWs, right? That attack was a continuous attack that first occurred during the first Black Nation Day in Detroit, Michigan, in March 20, 1969. Well, I'm saying the brothers and sisters apparently held the line from various attacks from the various government officials and pigs, which resulted in casualties on the side of the pigs. The same thing happened in August 18, 1971, resulting in casualties of the pigs. So people must understand that, like you said earlier about defense, you know, you mentioned that we're not trying to war with people, but we'll defend ourselves and protect ourselves, right? That was the same thing that happened with the RN-11, August 1st, August 18, 1971. And now also during Black Nation Day, March 29, 1969. And I'm saying it to let people know that it's imperative that in regards to struggling, there must be some kind of type of bloodshed, in regards of what we say or do, you know. And that's why in the flag, the new African flag, the red is smaller and within the middle because it represents the small bloodshed we must experience to get what we need to get. But it's necessary. And that bloodshed doesn't always mean that there's going to be a lot of people shedding blood either. You know, so that's something to be mentioned and be mindful and understanding. And also that any kind of provisional government is a revolutionary government. Going back to provisional government of the UNA up on the Market Garden was established this month. You know what I'm saying? August 20th. You know, also the provisional government of Vietnam, Ho Chi Minh was inspired by Market Garden. The provisional government of Ghana that was inspired by Marcus Garvey, you know, as well. So we look at these particular aspects of things, you know, even we were talking about the Haitian Revolution, that developed into a nation of people, you know, that fought against various oppressors and various bodies and beings, even good to the Maumau, you know, who fought against various European people to get the independence. You know, even Jamaica and other people, you know what I'm saying, they got the independent during this month as well. There's a lot of countries got the independent during this month of Black August. You know, so those things are imperative to know. And defense is not just physical defense. We got to be able to defend against health issues, poor housing, poor education, mass incarceration, poor food, legal matter. We got to be defending against all that psychologically. Psychological attack, you got to be able to defend against various ways, right? Defense goes a lot of different ways in regard to defending ourselves and protecting ourselves, you know. Basically, defending our own mindset. We're defending our identity. The new Afro-identity was an identity that we had to forge and become because our old identity had been taken away from us. So we had to form a new form of defense, a defense mechanism, which is new African identity. You know, so those things are appear to understand we're looking at certain things all around the board in regard to work that we do, right? You know, I commend you for all your work and effort, brother, you know, and I know it's not easy, you know. And I want to ask you, right, in regards to your time span as a revolutionary, as an organizer, as a social science, right? How have you overcome some of the issues or disputes or conflicts or contradiction that you embark on? How do you overcome some of those things? You know, how do you move past those things, so to speak, from your experiences?
Brother, appreciate you for showing appreciation for what we all do and what I do. That's greatly appreciated. What I do to get past certain things that are going on, certain stumble or blocking roadblocks, as I study. So I realized that we are not the first people that's dealing with what we're dealing with. And my grandma always tell me, times may change, but ain't nothing new under the sun. And since ain't nothing new under the sun, that means we can go back and we can study notes, we can study history, we can see the examples of what other people have done, and we can build off of their successes, and we can learn from their failures and mistakes. And secondly, I don't take it personal. One of my mentors told me that when people come to eat fruit off of a tree, they get the fruit and they leave. And the fruit is the last thing that come on the tree. You got to have roots, you got a bark, you got leaves, you got branches. You got all these things that come on the tree before the fruit, and the people don't care. They don't care how beautiful the tree is, how tall it is, or nothing. They only care about the fruit. And likewise, how it'll be with you. Once you get to where you want to go, people will see the fruits of your labor, and they'll flock to you. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they like you. they can benefit from the fruits of your labor. So after they get their fruit, they're sometimes probably leave. I don't take it personal, whatever's going on. I just look at a way of getting better, look at a way of studying and putting myself in a position to help my council, my cadre, and also help my nation. Because like Michael Garvey said, whatever happened to black people happened to me by default. And until mother said she thought that injustices only happened to blacks in the South until her son came down. So we have to understand that we're one band, one sound. We get it all together. We defend, protect ourselves, educate ourselves, create an economical base, be able to politically push ourselves forward, and let's push our culture to the forefront. People should be getting paid off our music, off of us acting, off of our intellectual property, off of our culture, period. We shouldn't buy food from other people. We shouldn't buy clothing or any of that from other people. We should put our culture in the forefront, and people should be coming to buy from us. So that's how I kind of rationalize with it. And it's not easy. It's very frustrating. Sometimes I cuss and holler and throw, but that comes with it. That comes with it. I'm enjoying every bit of the ride.
I know that you were one of the founders of the Peace Party for Independence, and you made the transformation from the Peace Party for Independence to the John Henry Clark District Council, right? What is so significant about this change or the transformation, or is it just a part of protracted struggle? What's so significant about it?
It's very significant, one, because we made the change during Black August, which is a time of resistance. A lot of things have happened during this time historically, and we didn't plan it like that. It kind of just happened. So with us being a local organization in the PPI and traveling throughout the Republic, I've seen maybe 100 different organizations that all looking to get to where we need to go. It's 100 organizations because we're all in different cities and different states, and we're dealing with different issues at the time, even though collectively we all have the same issues. So in traveling, I told the comrades, man, let's go and get all our people on one page, one band, one sound. And it'll be easier for us to move throughout the Republic as one group. And in doing that, I was been working with the Republic of New Africa.
All right, your line went out. Can't hear you, Conrad. Hold on. Okay. You hear me, Conrad?
Yes, sir. What happened?
Your line had dropped, man. I don't know where your line had dropped. Go ahead. What you saying? I can't hear you. Your line had dropped. Go ahead.
Okay. But yes, it happened during Black August. We didn't plan it. So that was a beautiful thing. And secondly, with us being one band, one sound throughout the Republic, we've been working with the provisional government for the last couple of years. And once we certify a district, the best next thing would be able to create a district council. And creating a district council, that's when you take all the different organizations locally and you can put them under one umbrella to be able to produce something very beautiful for our nation. So instead of asking everybody to do that, we just took it upon ourselves to do it ourselves first, to be the example. To say, okay, we've been building our collection for about 10 years, and we have a huge following for what we're doing, but it's time to transition into something more national, something that's more direct. If we can go from place to place, we don't have to say, hey, change all these different organizations. We can say, hey, bring all these different organizations up under this branch And all of y'all live in the same city, so it'll be easy to have that district council to be able to push our issues forward. So that was a very beautiful thing. It was very influential because now it's like we're taking a step to really start nation building, just taking a step toward nationhood and really picking up the baton and saying, hey, we are the government, so let's act like it.
Their determination manifests itself in many ways, you know. And that first democracy first take place in regard to one, restoring his or her name, right? Or, you know, one gaining his or her new name, or becoming a new African, a new man, a new woman within, which is symbolic of the transformation during Black August, becoming a new man, a new woman. And that begins with education, self-education. You know, and knowing who you are, where you came from, where you going to, what's your direction, what you need to be doing, who you answer, who your people are, you know, who really is for you, who's not for you, regard to that aspect, right? So, you know, for those who are listening, right, and listening in the future, right, what is the significance of changing your name to fit your ideology? What is the significance of that? Having an African name, a new African name to fit your new African ideology. What is the significance of that? And also, what does your name mean at the same time?
It's very significant, saying that once you become free, a free man names himself. And like I always tell the comrades, our first name, a lot of times, be ethical. We're not named, for our first names are not like any other race throughout the world. However, our last name is like a brand. So what we have to do is put ourselves in a position to say, well, I'm this is my identity, and now this is my name, this is what I'm called to kind of identify. A yellow man told his name was, you would think that was improper. So if it's improper for a yellow man to be named Patrick Murphy, it's also improper for a black man to be named Patrick Murphy. So what we have to do is let ourselves know and let the world know that we're free. And once you're free, you start to move free. You start to act free. You start to be free. And in being free, I knew in the Nation of Islam, they gave each other an X until they're able to give them a name. And I was like, that's cool. So when I was studying Swahili, I was looking for something similar. And I came across a Tajwe. And a Tajwe means he should be named. I didn't know what I was going to be named, so I just named myself a Tajwe for a long time, and it stuck. So throughout the community, everybody called me a Tajwe, and I was like, that's not really a name, you know? But it stuck because he should be named. And throughout life, throughout organizing, and throughout building, I've always been brave, courageous, head first, innovative, and the Swahili is plenty of terms, but the Swahili word that I went for brave and courageous and, you know, a warrior and strong, a hero, was Shuja. Shuja was a very strong name to me. It's different. It stood out. So I went from a Tajre Shuja. He should be named brave, courageous, strong. I've been introduced throughout my revolutionary journey with a lot of different formations and a lot of different collectives, and a part of the secure legacy, the secure infrastructure and developing and building and organizing. And locally, we have a tribe, because we want to make sure locally, if everyone a part of our village has the same name, and we start to build up a village and a tribe, and We can get our children to intermingle. We can build schools and hospitals, what have you. It'll be coming from our tribe. And we know we are original people. We know we're New Africans and we have went through a lot, but we are still original people. And Akavalon is an original name. Whether people agree or disagree, it's a sense. Akavalon was one of the original names that our people would use. So we're the Akavalon tribe down in Dr. John Henry Clark time. So when you put it all together, Akadre Shuja Shakur Akavalon, that's my New African name. They all have something near and dear to my heart. And once we all understand that we know one language, that means we're bound to our oppressor. So if you notice, whenever you're around Latinos, they'll talk to each other in Spanish, and they'll talk to you in English. And we have to develop that same sentiment. So if we want to adopt the language of Swahili, we should talk to each other in Swahili, and we should talk to everyone else in Spanish. Teach Swahili as a first tongue to our children and English as a second tongue. So now they would sound different from a regular American because we are New Africans with our own culture. And in doing that, your name should reflect your culture. And that's why we name ourselves, and that's why we move the way that we move.
Very good information. Like you said, you know, reality. Every time the individual embarks on a new way of life, he or she adopts a new name, receives a new name through naming ceremony, initiation, rites of passage, or, you know, or whatever it may be, right? But that name reflects and resonates one's particular ideology, one's particular philosophy, one particular political line, and also one particular culture that they're accepting and embarking on and embracing at a particular time, right? You know, which is a beautiful thing. It's a way to identify. It's a way to distinguish. It's also a way to recognize, and it's also a way to unify as well. You know, because many people have many newer African names, but they're part of different organizations, but they got the same goal of a friend in land, then it can work. You know, it can work. You know, then also the aspect that Tupac said before his demise, he said one of the things he said in one of his quotes were, you need to have an African brain with an African, just don't have an African name, have an African brain, right? And when you think about it realistically, right, a lot of times in regards to the social construct of the education system, the American academic system, and also via from slavery, it take away our name, identity, and so forth and so on, and culture resources, and culture resources as well. And I also use the Oscarian teachings opposed upon us. And we look at those certain things, right? That mean that we find a system, education system, that destroys us mentally and turn them into menials, mental slaves, human chattel property, commodities, consumers, victimize us and transfer us to domestic neo-colonials, a.k.a. house niggas, a.k.a. sambos, you know, so forth and so on. So we look at that. We look at their attack upon our psychological and educational well-being. We need the aspects of knowing why it's significant for us to change our name, why it's significant for us to adopt a certain name, and why it's significant for us to look for our culture, and our culture is a form of resistance, especially in regards to our own psychotherapy. You know, we understand that we got these common issues. We got miseducation. Okay, if we got miseducation, why don't we create our own African center school? Why don't we create our own African center school club? Why don't we create our own community center, our own learning center? Why don't we do these things? We talking about food. Why don't we create farm? Why don't we create garden? Why don't we learn how to grow things, you know? And all these solutions lies within our own African mind state. Because African people are African saying, you African people, our goal was to be communalistic, to be people of the community. The people who are intertwined with each other, intertwined with land, intertwined with our family and our community. And also with everything, the spirit of resistance within us, the spirit of building, right? So those things are everything you said and what I'm saying is needed for us to go forward, man. You know, it's a beautiful thing, man. It's a beautiful thing.
Indeed, it is. What we're doing in general is beautiful. Resisting the oppression that we went through, resisting all the policies and legislations that they did to undermine us. They sold land. They gave land away, actually, just so we couldn't have it. They built things. We built things that we couldn't even be a part of. And it's beautiful to see the resilience of our people. We could have gave up. Our ancestors could have laid down, but they didn't. And they kept going. And they have been fighting for separate but equal. And that's what any immigrant group that has come here has been fighting for, separate but equal. Unfortunately, we're not immigrants. We are New Africans, and we are indigenous to here because we were enslaved for 256 years. So we have had generations of people here. So we have to keep the fight going. We have to free the land. We have to get involved in all areas on the national scale, not just in our communities. It starts in the community, and then we take it up a notch. We need to control all cities where New African people are the majority. So that means we need to be mayors. We need to be city councilmen. We need to be superintendents of the schools. And once that happens, they'll start to change some things. We're not doing it so we can change it for ourselves. We're doing it so we can have some type of form of protection. If they keep whipping us with this, we need to get in position to stop that. However, on the grassroots level, we should own, operate, and control the five institutions, the grocery stores, the retail stores, you know, banks, hospitals, so that we can protect ourselves just on a local scale and be able to connect those local institutions on the national scale. And then we'll have a New African network. Then we won't have to worry about any immigrants or any foreigners dictating our way of life. We go to work for 8, 10, 12, 16 hours a day. There's only 24 hours in a day. You sleep for 8 hours. So we're not really putting a lot of time into our community, into our advancement, into our uplift, to the education of our children, to supporting our economics and our values. We spend a lot of time emulating our oppressors, and it's time out for that. It's time for us to do what we know that it's right, pick up the fight. Our ancestors did a great job of creating and building, helping for us to stand on. We just have to pick up the baton and keep the fight going. And I'm one of the soldiers that's out here on the front line, me and my comrades. So, you know, we want to connect with everybody. We want to build with everybody. And we're very serious. We're not acting like we're subservient. Rap Brown said, you're either a citizen or you're not. It's like telling me you can be a little bit pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not. And we say we're citizens, and we're going to take what we know is rightfully ours, and we're going to defend and protect it. And hopefully we can garner and gain the support of the people, and we can do something magnificent in our day. We won't have to die or wait on it or nothing. We can do something in our day, and it'll be a beautiful thing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, again, I appreciate coming to the platform. I said, now that we understand at this time, but I open the line for any caller. If you have any question, comments, or statement, please press one at a time. If you have any question, comment, or statement, please press one at a time. I'll open your line up. If you have any question, comment, or statement, please press one at a time. If you're in the call, if you have any question, comment, or statement, please press one at a time. I'll open your line up. The line's open. If you got any question, comment, or statements. Oh, let me see something right quick. Okay. 562. 212. You have any question, comment, or statement, please do so. The time your line is open. 5C2212, your line is open. Go ahead. Free line. Free line, your line is open. 5C2212, your line is open. Go ahead.
Okay, I had the mic off. Free the land, by any means necessary. And
free
the
land,
of course, Wausi, Agusti, Salamu.
Yes, ma'am.
I've been enjoying the presentation, and everything sounds like how I was raised by my grandfather. So we have to be responsible for whatever it is that we believe in. And what we believe in is just. And I've enjoyed listening to the brother speak on the cadres, and especially that band thing you have about one band, one sound. I kind of know exactly who that came from. Let's see. I really just want to say I enjoyed everything. There's so much I identify with. I am often trying to be as involved as I can, but I'm in a remote area now. I'm no longer in the city. So I'm learning new ways on the land of my ancestors. So I just, whenever you're in town or whenever I can make it to any of the events, I would try. And just to hear what you have got planning coming up would be great to hear again.
Okay. Mama Shakira, can you get a little historical backdrop of who you are so the Congress can know who you are? Give them a little historical backdrop of who you are.
Sure.
Affiliation and associates.
Yeah, I've been a member of the party since 67. I left the party in the 70s, just before the 71 split. I made great friends, like Geronimo, stayed in touch, and a few other people we stayed in touch. But through Geronimo, I met a Fanny. We worked with the San Quentin, the brothers and my husband, Petari. When I went to visit Geronimo after I came back from San Jose, back to the Bay Area. And he was in San Quentin, and he was getting ready to begin his trial. And he said he didn't need any more people coming to support him, but he gave me someone because us both being in the party, we knew, you know, if you're there to serve, then you work where you fit in. So he plugged me in with this brother named Katari, Jeffrey Katari Galden. And so I began working with Katari. We started working on this case. He wanted me to work with the attorney, and we got a nice little team together. We worked with the San Quentin Six. I've been aware of George and Nolan and the Soledad brothers and the Soledad Prison Poets. I was brought up in the Bay Area. When Fanny and I hooked up, we became good comrades. And so the first thing she did was when she could, she brought me to New York to meet everyone. I got to work on the United Nations petition. I think it might have been the second or the third one. And that was in 79, where I got to meet Queen Mother Moore and Sister Dara Abubakari and a host of other people. I got to enjoy being around comrades that worked together, which was the same as I was doing in the party. But I just expanded. I've also been a part of the international. I've worked with the Venceremos Brigade, La Brigada Venceremos, which has been in effect since I was 15. And we'd make trips to Cuba. They wanted us to work in the fields, but I thought, you know, hey, if I'm going to go at 15, I should be getting something more than working in the fields, because that's what we did here. But basically that was symbolic. Once you get there, they treat you and they take you around. So that's the kind of thing. And I have never been not a part of the struggle and standing up. Qatari passed when I was in Cuba for the youth festival, where I got to meet country people from around the country, and of course, I could not wait to get to the African compound. And we with the United States delegation, of course, there was the Puerto Ricans, the Native Americans, and any other indigenous people that wanted to be a part of, and I was a part. So I was called, and they had a Fani got to tell me what happened to Qatari while I was away. And so it took me 6 days to get out and get back, but, you know, the New York folks, they stood up and they met me where I needed to be and got me back where I had to show up, and then the East Bay people took it from there. And I've been involved in the movement since. I stay in touch with my brothers and sisters and lockdown and in my community wherever I can fit in. I've been working lately with healthcare for the homeless and housing and learning how to plant, learning how to grow. That's real scientific. But, yeah, that's my background.
It's an honor and a pleasure to be on the phone with you, sister. It's nice to meet you. I'm Conrad Shuja. I'm down in Dr. John Henry Clark Town, Columbus, Georgia, formerly known. So if you're still in the Bay Area,
I'm in Alabama. I'm in Jimison, Alabama. I'm close by.
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah, we're going to get with you. We're going to get with you ASAP. We're starting to travel. After this call, we put this council together, so after this call, we're traveling to all the districts, because I told the Conrad, I need to meet everybody. That's just the type of person I am. I want to eat with you. I want to laugh with you. I want to enjoy your presence, and I want to build a relationship with everyone. You can only do so much over the phone. So
true.
Let's get in person.
True. Yeah. I got to attend last year's. Or was it the year before when you guys came to Birmingham?
It was last year.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, it was last year. Okay. No, and you have to say next year is going to be in Dr. John Clark. It's going to be in Columbus, Georgia. But, it was last year. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So last year was in North Carolina, right?
No, this year was in South Carolina.
This year. I'm back. Okay.
Yeah. It was in Charleston.
Right on.
Yeah, it was in Charleston. Yeah, no, we gonna link up though. You know that one of my comrades.
I see Columbus.
Yeah.
Good thing.
That's our cadre. So
right on.
Yeah, we don't have these discussions already. You know, so yeah, we gonna link phase to phase and make it do what it do.
Hey. That's the best way. I enjoyed listening to it. I listened to what you did last year, earlier. I thought I had seen it before, but yeah, I've been listening back to everything, just rolling things back online and watching the YouTube.
Yeah. No doubt. Yeah, we appreciate you, Mama Cigar. You know, appreciate you front line. Appreciate you still, making sacrifices and involved in movement building. We appreciate it. Very encouraged, you know.
Yeah, we all are well met.
You're still invited.
That's how we do. All right, bro. Y'all take care. Free to land.
Glad to be necessary.
Glad to be necessary.
Okay. Do we have any more callers? Got any questions, comments, statements at this time? You have any more callers? You have anybody have any questions, comment, or statement? Please press one at a time. You have any question, comment, or statement? Please press one at a time. Yeah, all right. You know, man. You know, it's about education for liberation, man. You know, moving forward, doing the work. We say raise your hand for the land. I mean, you got to do the work. You know what I'm saying? Irregardless of whom or where. You take an oath to anything, it's death for the sign of your life, man. So, for the people who are listening, the people who are listening in the future, right, you tell, what would you tell a younger individual that want to get involved in movement building, that want to get involved in organizing? What would you tell the young individual? What would you tell him or her that he want to get involved or participate or, you know, what would you tell him?
That's a good question, Conrad. When I work with the youth down here, I always let them know that one day, God willing, you're going to be older, right? And when you're older, you want to be known for contributing something to your community or your neighborhood. I always ask them, "What when you 80 and you walk outside and you look out your front porch, what does it look like?" And they all be like, 80. I ain't never thought about that. I said, but think about it. What does it look like now? And they be like, I got my car. I got my house. I say, are you married? Do you have children? Do you have, you know, or do you own your home? How many bedrooms is it, you know? And they'd be like, I haven't thought about this. So I say, okay, you working on a job. Let's say you get paid $20 an hour. You work 8 hours a day. You're going to make $150 for that day. Then you're going to get taxed, right? So you're really going to make around $130. I said, what can you do for yourself? Well, you can make $100 a day, $200 a day. And they all tell me, well, I'm good at this. I do this. I used to do this back in the day. Women always tell me, I can do makeup. I can do hair. I sell clothing. I make jewelry. I sell food. And I ask them, so why don't you do something for yourself? Oh, man, it's hard. Consistency. They make it so hard. And I tell them, if you had a community that supported you, would it be easier? Oh, yeah, I just had to set up. That's how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to support each other. I said, now you are the reason we are going to support each other. You have to get active. You have to let us know what's going on. You have to explain these things because you are intellectually thinking. A lot of people don't think. And our job, like Brother Conrad Kwame Ture say, the revolutionary job is to make the unconscious conscious of their unconscious behavior. So once we wrap all that up, I ask them now, would you want to do something for yourself and your community to actually get what you want? Or how long is it going to take you to keep getting raises from your job to get $20, $30, $40 an hour? How long is it going to take you to go to school to get that out? You know, what's the path? So then we start really breaking things down, and they start thinking about their lives, and they start thinking about their future, and they become real active because now they have an identity. So I always give the young people an identity first. Know who you are. We're a new African people. Know that. Now, look at your history. Look at what you have been doing. Look at what you want to do. And what's conducive for you? To work together with your people and be a part of a community, or to be an individual and scrape and grind? And they often opt to work with the community. So now we have to take that program to everyone, to be able to have everyone on a collective program. And then we have to make it look cool. So when I'm in a community, I dress nice. I have a grill. I wear fitted hats. I wear jerseys. I play loud music because I want it to be cool. And the children flock to me. I have an overnight chicken spot at my community center. Me and the Conrads have a community center. So overnight, we sell chicken and fish to the community, to young people. We stay all the way open to 4 o'clock in the morning just for them. They come and they enjoy us, and we enjoy them. And they want to help keep the community safe, clean, and organized. We just have to make sure that we are the adults and we're pushing the issue and we're organizing and mobilizing and leading the way. We have to be leaders again, brothers and sisters. And that's one thing I always push on my comrades, leadership. If we say we're the government, let's lead the people. We do a good job at organizing. We do a good job at mobilizing. We do a good job at talking and preaching. But where's the leadership? And I told them, not in our communities, Ain't no way somebody 12 to 21 is going to terrorize our community. It doesn't happen in no other community but ours, where we have children terrorizing our community. So I put it to them like that, and that's why we've been able to work with the gangs in our community, because they respect us, and they keep our building, our community feeling safe. They are our soldiers too. So, you know, they're ready. We just got to educate them, politicize them. Brother Thomas Sankara says every gangster is a potential revolutionary once properly educated. And that's what we have to do. We have to properly educate these brothers and sisters and then give them something to do, an alternative, and they'll be revolutionary, and we'll change our position and condition in society.
You know, I have another question, right? What actually does it mean to to support political prisoners? What does it mean to do so? What does that mean by supporting them?
It means a lot. It means everything to us, because I was just talking to my wife today, and I was telling her that 4 months is a long time. And she was like, not really. I was like, okay, if you had to hold your breath, how long can you hold your breath? She was like, maybe 30 seconds. I said, if you had to hold your breath underwater, how long would you hold your breath? She was like, maybe 10 or 15. I said, now think about 4 months. And she started laughing. And what I'm telling her is 4 months is a long time. And imagine people for 40 years, 80 years, 70 years, they made the ultimate sacrifice for us. It gives me chills thinking about it, because we cannot continue to allow that to happen. While our leadership, while our leaders, while our community leaders are always locked up, segregated, pushed out, killed, it's so easy for them to attack us. It's so easy for them to put us in situations where they can frame us and misuse us and abuse us. And we didn't know. Hindsight is 20/20. So for those of us that do know, we must support these brothers and sisters. Send them donations. Write them. Talk to them on the phone. And during Black August, sacrifice with them, you know. Sacrifice. Give up something that you like. Just during the daytime. Go 24 hours, 3 or 4 days out the month, giving that thing up. This isn't a punishment. It's a commemoration. And that could have been any one of us. Any one of us could have been a Sandra Bland. Any one of us could have been a Conrad George Jackson. Any one of us, because we go through poverty. And once you go through poverty, it makes you do things that you wouldn't normally do, because now you're under situation that you wouldn't normally be in. And all of us have done something that could have put us in a potentially situation that we could have went to prison. Some of us have already done prison time. We cannot forget about those brothers and sisters that paid the price for us to be able, for us to progressively continue to talk about what we're doing, why we want to do it, and what they have also done for us. So we have to support them. And then also have programs that help them while they're in there, prevent people from going, and also help people transition out. We have to own houses so we can have transition homes. We have to be able to create businesses so when the brothers and sisters get out, we can employ them as well, teach them skills, give them some type of way of taking care of themselves. It's not easy to transition after being in prison for 10-plus years. Things are changing rapidly. I had a Conrad that got out of prison. He had been 21 years, and he didn't know how to use a PlayStation. He didn't know how to use a smart TV. And I was laughing, but when I thought about it, it was very disrespectful on my part. He didn't take it that way, but I did. Because I was like, man, he doesn't have access to the electronics, you know? So I did everything in my power to teach him, to make him comfortable. And that's why I was like, yeah, we need those programs. It's not nobody else's job to teach our people, to teach our church, to change our community, to build and do the necessary things we need to do for ourselves. It's on us. So it's very important, very important.
You know,
What are your final thoughts you want to leave us with? What are your final thoughts you want to leave us with, right?
For having me on, Conrad, for being on the show. I enjoy engaging and building and working with people. Like I said earlier, one band, one sound. It kind of nationalized our programs, events, calendars, so that we can be on one page across the board. Educational system that we can implement throughout the board. So if we want to homeschool our children or get a brick and mortar, we know that we're educating them on the highest level. We need doctor's offices, dentist's offices, hospitals, banks. We need all of these institutions that's going to allow us to keep money within our communities. No one is going to come and save us. It's no one's job to save us. We know what happened. We know what's been happening. We need to develop a strategy of action so that we can change our position and condition in society today. Right now, we need a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, a 20, you already know how it goes. But at least we need to come and start collecting resources, developing programs where we can actually help each other. We don't have to be poor because we're revolutionaries. We do not have to live in poverty because we're New Africans. We can change our condition. We can change our mindset. We all have to be on the same page. We all have to study the same material. We all have to make sure that if we believe in something, we put our money where our mouth is, but we also put our hands where our mouth is. We have to learn how to plant and grow things if we want our own food. We have to learn how to, for the people that eat meat, you have to learn how to cultivate your animal so you're not eating anything once you butcher the animal and kill the animal. We have to do these, but in reality, what are we doing? So in our dish, we want to make sure we're not just talking, we're doing. And I want to leave that with all the districts. Don't just talk, do. So when we get together, we can help each other help each other. So that's what I want to leave everybody with tonight. Let's help each other, one band, one sound.
True indeed. You know, again, I want to thank you for coming to our platform. I'm sure you're not going to stand. Thank you already in the past, present, and the future, right? You know, if you got any loved one, current associates, please look into our social media sites up under the name Georgia University. We can be found on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We also have a working website with www.georgejackson.com. Right? You're also in contact with us via email or contact on our social media page. Reach out to us. You know, also, and take in mind that there are various petitions floating around about our final Georgia University. I do a little about the Cure Final Line. You can sign up petitions, as well as some of our other New African Revolutionary National New African Political Prison comrades, such as Joe Koshima Jensei, but you can sign online as well, as well as other comrades that have petitions and standpoint, like Tawa Nagama Gama, Kope Zaguma, Micah Duro, you had a comrade, Yafi Ayopo, Mutawala Kambon, so forth and so on. You know, you just look at these brothers. Someone have a website, someone have a petition. You look at the information, support these brothers, write them, purchase some of these books. I do a little about Secure, as well as Yokoshima have various books on Amazon that you can purchase. You know, Yokoshima also have art. You can purchase on their own art website. Just support these brothers, you know, support these brothers and other brothers and sisters a lot behind the line. Even if you have family members, a friend or social behind the line, support them, you know. Don't let them forget them. These alone, you don't forget them yourself. I'm going to say Law and the Resistance, Law and the Independent Movement, Law and the Gorilla. Shalewa.